Hello, hello. Welcome to Access, everyone. So excited to be with y'all tonight. We are super, super excited. This is the Access community. We're the Young Adults Expression of Resurrection Life Church, and we exist to equip and mobilize young adults in identity, evangelism, community, and the scriptures. We are a group of Jesus people. We love the person. We love the presence of Jesus. He's transformed each one of our lives, and we're okay with that. We're okay with this transformation. Amen? That's so right. So, so good. Well, before we hop into the message tonight, if you've been with us for a while, you know that we're in a year-long initiative, which is focusing on our identity in Christ, right? When Jesus came, when he died, when he rose again, like this month, we're celebrating Easter, right? Which is the celebration of Jesus' death, burial, resurrection. Amen. But when he died and was raised to life, he actually purchased for us a new identity. And in 2 Corinthians 5:17, it says, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. The old things have passed away. The way, we could say, the way that we knew ourselves before has passed away. And behold, all things have become new. Jesus has a new identity for us. And so we're in a year-long initiative focusing on different parts of our identity, what it means, who we are to Christ. And we believe that before we do anything for God, we must understand that we belong to God. We are his. This initiative is based out of Psalms 100 verse 3, which says, know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who made us and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Come on, so good. We believe that as we behold the Father, we find our deepest sense of belonging in him. And so from that place, we become like him. Behold, belong, become. Amen. And one of the ways that we secure ourselves in our identity in Christ is actually by declaring what God says about us out of our mouth. And so together, we're going to do that. Before we hop into the message, before we do anything, I'm going to invite everyone to stand up and we're going to make a declaration. So we're entering into a new series this month called The Son of Suffering, which is centering around Jesus' death on the cross and our response to that. And so the new verse that I'm going to challenge each one of you, anyone who's listening online, to memorize this month is Galatians 2 verse 20. Galatians 2 verse 20. And this is a beautiful representation of how when Jesus died on the cross, it wasn't just he who died, but we actually died with him in a sense, the old man. All right, so I'm going to read this line by line and you can just repeat this after me out loud. All right? Okay. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I am so sorry that just happened. That is literally 101. Don't do that and repeat it for you, okay? You guys may be seated. Thank you so much. Thank you, thank you, thank you. So, so good. Amen. So like previously mentioned, we're entering into a new series this month as a community. Before we go there, I just got to say, it is literally one of my greatest joys to pastor this community and to run alongside with you as we all are falling deeper in love with Jesus and chasing after him more faithfully. I like look across this room and it's just so crazy because I can see so many individual people who this year alone are wildly different and know Jesus just so much deeper than they ever have before in their life. And here's my one encouragement to all of us is there's more. There's more. Do what Jesus has done over the course of our lives up to this point is literally just an appetizer for what he wants to do. He's inviting us to the full meal, right? The full meal, amen? So, so good. So the month-long series that we're engaged in is called The Son of Suffering. The Son of Suffering. And this entire month, we're gonna be gearing towards the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. But really, the whole point of this sermon series is really that we catch something. And this thing that we're going to catch is this statement right here. The death that Jesus died was not just to pay for our sin, but to show us how to live. Let's say that one more time. The death that Jesus died was not just to pay for our sin, but to show us how to live. Let's pray. Jesus, we love you so much. We honor you in this place. Holy Spirit, you are so good. Oh, Lord. Thank you, Father. Lord, we stand here, we sit here overwhelmed by your kindness toward us. God, you have been so faithful in our lives. You've been so faithful, Lord. Teach us. Open up our hearts, Lord. Give us a spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of you so that we can know you better, God. So we can know the positive things that you are calling us into. So we can know, Lord, the depth of what you have purchased for us because you went and died on the cross. And Lord, that we might know the power, the exceedingly great power that resides in us because we believe in you. God, I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would take these words that come out of my mouth and that you would make them hit our hearts tonight. It wouldn't just be information that passes through our head, but revelation that lights up our heart and empower us to change our life. Holy Spirit, we honor you. We honor you here. We don't want to just talk about you. Jesus, we don't want to just talk about you like you're not here with us. Like you're some ethereal or some figment of our imagination, Lord. We honor you in this place. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen, amen, amen. So before I actually accepted a job here at Resurrection Life Church, I worked as a very astute position. It was very, very astute. I was like, you know, one of the head leaders of, you know, my job before. I was actually working as a grounds crewman and for a golf course. And so I had to show up, be on my A game every single day. But this golf course was called Railside Golf Club. If anybody's listening to this and have any connection with Railside, did anybody have a connection to Railside, anybody? Come on, praise. That's so, oh, sorry, not a praise. Okay. That's awkward. All right. Listen, I kind of hated this job at first because it required me to wake up early. I had to be at work by 5:50 every morning. And then I had to work, I got out of work super early, which was crazy, but the amount of times I almost fell asleep while on a lawnmower, we'll just keep that one under wraps, okay? But we had some crazy wild times at Railside. It was crazy. Just some of the times that happened is I remember driving by and all my coworkers, they're gathered around this huge like sand bunker, right? And if you're unfamiliar with golf, right, you're supposed to hit the ball in the little hole and there's like a big green, right, that surrounds it. You put the ball into the hole, but surrounding the green, sometimes there are areas of sand which you're not supposed to hit the ball into. And if you do, it's extremely hard to hit the ball out of. So a lot of my coworkers are lined around, you know, this sand bunker, and they're just looking at, you know, and like this. And then they're kind of scratching their heads a little bit. And they're kind of looking to it. And then they're pointing at each other like, you do it. No, 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 you do it. You do it. And I'm like, well, this sparked my interest, you know? So I drive over there in my golf cart, you know? And I'm parked up, and I'm like, hey, what's going on? And they look, and there's no joke. There is a snapping turtle in this sand bunker that is this big. I am not even joking. It is this big. And so we're looking at it and we're all like trying to put our rake sniff against it. And this thing just, you know, like tries to bite the rake. And we're like, dude, I'm not losing a finger today. Like I did not show up this morning saying, you know what? 9 digits would probably be great. You know what I'm saying? And so I'm like looking out here and for some reason, I don't know what happened inside of me, but like, man, this just like giant slayer, David versus Goliath was just like, this is easy. And so I'm like, all right, I'm just going to take this thing. And so I walk up there. They're like, Jared, no, wait for our boss. Wait for our boss. I'm just trudging through the sand bunker. And I literally like, look, he like bites a little bit. And I'm like, huh? Okay. And I go around and I pick it up by its tail. And I'm literally holding this thing. And it's like so huge. It was really heavy. And I'm not the most, you know, buff guy in the world. Anyway, so it's super heavy. I'm holding this. And this thing is like still trying to bite me. You know, as I'm like kind of carrying it to our pond, all my coworkers are standing there kind of like, like they're just watching and just leave, like, what is happening right now? And then all of a sudden I just chuck it as far as I can, which was like 5 feet because it was so heavy. But I just chuck it into this thing and just, there you go, just splashes and it swims away. And everyone's like, I hop in my golf cart, drive away. Everyone's like, what? Who is this guy? This makes no sense, right? Another time I was up in a tree and me and my buddy were cutting down limbs and I'm sitting up there and this limb just wouldn't come. I have this like tooth, you know, sharp tooth saw, you know, this different time. I'm pulling it. Finally, I break through, boom, and I nail my leg. But here's the thing, I'm sitting on a tree branch like 15 feet up in the air. And so I nail my leg and I'm like, oh no. And it literally starts bleeding down my leg. And I looked at my coworker. He goes, he did not say a godly term at that point. But and so I jump down, I jump off the tree and I start running away. And like, he like bandages it. I have no idea. This one guy I worked with, he was like the railside sensei. Like he just went to him for everything. He just like knew how to do everything. And so he like puts my leg up and like wraps this beautifully like tourniquet and just like all this different, the bleeding stops. It was crazy. But there was one time, and real side as well, I was working with my buddy, his name is Mike. He's also the guy that did a backflip into our pool because he was hot out. Anyway, I'm with this guy and it's funny because as he did the backflip, our boss just drove by right at that exact same point. So it's just not a good day for him. Anyway, but he asked me this, my buddy Mike, he was a great guy, but he was actually really, really deep. And I think sometimes like, yeah, there was just a deep to him and he really wanted to know God. And a lot of times, like he would actually stoke these conversations that would lead us like just somewhere that I'm not expecting, you know? Like he's this guy, does backflips into pool, has all this different stuff. And then he turns around one day, we're working together and he looks at me and he goes, Jared, what do you think is the worst sin? I was like, wow, that's a good one. I've never had that. And literally what I felt like the Holy Spirit put in that moment is selfishness. I think selfishness is actually the worst sin. When you think about any of the sins that we walk into, any of the things that Jesus would not have us do in our life, I think they can be boiled down to this one thing. And it's that we've prioritized our own life and dealings over the will of God. We've prioritized ourselves. And isn't that where it all began? Like when Jesus and the Father and the Holy Spirit, they're in the garden, they're walking with Adam and Eve every single day. But then the serpent came and tempted, and what did Adam say? Father, not your will, my will be done. Selfishness. And I think this term selfishness is kind of running rampant in our culture today, where everyone's talking about self-care, self-love. Everyone's talking about this prioritization of our own life and dealings and take care of yourself. Make sure that you're not being run over. Make sure that, right? And while there are some healthy conversations surrounding boundaries, I think if we're not careful, we can be swept away in the cultures. We can be swept away in this mode of selfishness that our culture is producing. But that is not the way that we have learned Christ. And that's not the way that we saw Jesus live his life. We're gonna read Galatians 2:20, but actually in a couple different translations as we kind of get going here. This is Galatians 2:19 through 21 in the Message translation. I love the way they put this. What actually took place is this, Galatians 2:19 through 20. In the Message translation, what actually took place is this. I tried keeping rules and working my head off to please God, and it didn't work. So I quit being a lawman so that I could be God's man. Christ's life showed me how and enabled me to do it. I identified myself completely with him. Indeed, I have been crucified with Christ. Catch this. My ego is no longer central. It's no longer important that I appear righteous before you and have your good opinion, and because I am no longer driven to impress even God. Christ lives in me. And the life you see me living is not, quote, mine, but it is is lived by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. And I am not going back on that. My ego is no longer central. Who I am in my own life, my own dealings, my own entitlements, my rights, my responsibilities, that is not central to my life anymore. Why? I've been crucified with Christ. I've identified myself completely with him. And it's no longer I who live, but it's Christ who lives in me. Galatians 2:20 in the Amplified translation says, I have been crucified with Christ. That is, in him, I have shared in his crucifixion. It's no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith, by adhering to, relying on, and completely trusting in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself up for me. So the life that Jesus lived, and ultimately the death that he died, was not just to pay for our sin, but it was actually to teach us how to live. So how did Jesus live his life? He left heaven. He left this place of comfort. He left this place of glory. He left this place of renown. He left all of his rights. He left all of his entitlements, his comforts behind, and he came to the earth. And when he was on the earth, he didn't take the glory of Messiah. He didn't take the glory of King. He didn't take the glory of any single person. What did he do on the last night of his disciples? With his disciples, he tied a robe around his waist, sinks down to the lowest position, and washes his disciples' feet. So he not only leaves the glory and renown of being worshiped 24/7, nonstop by angels for eternity, he leaves the glory and renown that he actually deserved on the earth. He didn't look to meet his own needs. He spent himself for the will of God and for the sake of others. And could it be that the life that Jesus is actually calling us into is one of self-sacrifice, one of self-denial, one where our own life and dealings are not paramount to us anymore. Our ego is no longer central, but we put those aside in order to pursue him. Point number one for tonight, point number one says, God's plan for the Christian life is death to self. That is God's plan. That's his plan for our life. If we're wondering, God, what do you have us on this earth for? What do you have me here for? Why are you calling me? Why have you placed me here in this point? What do you want me to do in real life? The first thing that he's gonna ask you to do is surrender your rights, responsibilities. It's to die to your own self, to die to your own wants, to die to your own desires for the sake of God and for the sake of other people. Matthew 16, verse 24 through 26 said, Jesus said to his disciples, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it, but whoever loses their life for me will find it. I'm gonna read that one more time. Jesus said to his disciples, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves, take up their cross, and follow me. Jesus is saying, don't just look at my life and follow me. He says, look at my death and follow me. I think a lot of us, we like the life of Jesus, preaching to crowds of people. They all come, healing the sick, raising the dead, doing all those things. And am I saying those things are bad? By no means. I want to see more of those things in my life too. But without the death, there's no resurrection. And if we don't put our own self-will, our own self-desires aside, that the power of the resurrection is still to be had in our lives. Less of me and more of Jesus. In Jesus' death, what happened? In Jesus' death, he paid for our sins, right? But more than that, Jesus, why did he pay for our sins? It was to reconcile us back into relationship with God so that we could actually stand and have this living, breathing relationship. And that's exactly what he did. Romans 5 verse 19 says, "For just as through the disobedience of the one man, the many were made sinners." He's talking about Adam. "Through the disobedience of Adam, the many were made sinners. So also through the obedience of one man, the many will be made righteous." Philippians 2 says that Jesus was obedient to death, even the death on the cross. So through his death, he actually brought and reconciled humanity back to God. See, Adam in a garden, like we said before, Adam in the Garden of Eden, he literally looked to God and said, "God, not your will, but my will be done." And what happened? Death was spread to the entire world. And we actually are still living with the effects of that one decision that he made. But Jesus, also in a garden, the Garden of Gethsemane, on the night before he was crucified, knelt down next to a rock and he said, "Father, if it's possible, let this cup of suffering and this cup of death pass over me, but not as I will, but your will be done." Jesus sacrifices his own will in order to see the Father's will. And what happens? Life spreads to the whole of humanity, and we are still observing the benefits of that one decision that he made. "Lord, not my will, but let yours be done in my life." So through his death, through his burial, through his resurrection, Jesus reconciled the world back to God. Now, the question is, who does this ministry of reconciliation, right? Who does that fall onto? The answer is actually you and I. Jesus has actually asked us to go into the world and help bring others into relationship with God. Just like Jesus left heaven and came to the earth in order to reconcile a lost people to a loving Father, so also God is calling us as people of God to leave the comfort of our churches, the comfort of our workplaces, the comforts of our own life and dealings, and to beckon these lost people back into relationship with a loving Father. This is 2 Corinthians 5, 18 through 19. "All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation, that God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against him. And he has committed to us this message of reconciliation." So here's the question. If Jesus reconciled the world back to the Father through his death, why would our reconciliation mean anything different for our life? If it required death of self in order to reconcile a lost world back to God on the cross, why would it require anything less than death to self in order for us to see the lost in our life come back to a loving relationship with Jesus? I'm not saying that we should terminate our life or anything like that. Our lives are precious to the Lord. What I am saying is when I say death to self, what I really mean is that we would put aside our own will, that we would put aside our own preferences, that we would put aside maybe even our own rights and entitlements on behalf of others and in accordance with the will of God, that we would prefer the will of God over our own self. Point number two, what happens when we set aside our own self? Number two, Jesus is exalted when we die to ourselves. Jesus is actually lifted high when we set aside our own will. John 8, verse 28. Jesus says, "When you have lifted up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am he, and that I do nothing on my own, but speak just as what the Father has taught me. So when he says here, when you know that I am he, what he's really saying is, you will know that I am the Messiah. He's saying, when you have lifted up the Messiah, when you've lifted it up on the cross, he says, you will know that I am he. You'll know that I'm the Messiah. And then again in John 12, verse 27 through 33. Oh, this is so good. John 12, 27 through 33. Jesus says, so a little bit of context here. Jesus is predicting his death on the cross to his disciples. He's talking to them. He's basically saying, hey, y'all, listen, I know we've been rolling together for about 3 years now, and this has been fun. Let me tell you, it's been a fun time. But I'm about to leave. And where I'm going, you actually can't follow me yet, wink, wink. But you will be able to follow. But he's saying to his disciples that what I'm about to embark on right now is actually going to be pretty grueling. Like this death that I'm going to die, right, is going to be pretty grueling. And I'm actually leaving. So that's where we pick up in John 12, 27. It says, now my soul is troubled. This is Jesus speaking. My soul is troubled. Why? Because he knows the death that he's about to die. He knows that he has to set aside his own will and say, God, not my will, but yours be done. My soul is troubled. But he says, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour? He says, no, because it was for this very reason I came to this hour. Father, glorify your name. Then a voice came from heaven. This is God the Father speaking, a voice, audible voice of God. And many people were able to hear it at this time. He says, I have glorified it and I will glorify it again. The crowd that was there and heard it said that it had thundered. But others said an angel had spoken to him. But Jesus said, this voice was for your benefit, not mine. Oh, that's crazy. Now is the time for the judgment of this world. And now the prince of this world will be driven out. And I, verse 32, catch this. And I, when I am lifted up from this earth, will draw all people unto myself. Now, this verse right here, you can leave that up there. But this verse, we hear a lot of times and we hear it in like contexts of worship, right? Like when, oh, let's lift up the Lord. Let's exalt his name. Let's magnify his name. Because when he is lifted up, he will draw all people unto himself, right? And that's good. That's right. Like when Jesus is praised, when he's glorified and when he's magnified, there's actually power there. And the presence of God comes. He says he's enthroned on the praises of his people, right? And that's good when he is. But specifically, when we look at this verse in context, Jesus was not talking about worship here. He was not talking about when you exalt my name through singing and when you gather around in these moments of worship. He's not saying that. What is he talking about? I'm going to read verse 32 and then go and down into verse 33. It says, and I, when I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all people to myself. What does he mean? Verse 33. He said this to show the kind of death that he was going to die. Jesus is saying here, in his humanity, Jesus literally, he said, Lord, if there is any other way to redeem the whole of humanity other than having nails driven through my hand and being beaten to a pulp and hanging exposed in front of everybody, that would be great. Like, if there's any other way to do this, like, let me know. But there was no other way. It had to be through death. But Jesus says, when I am lifted up, when the world sees the death that I'm about to die, all the world will be drawn unto me. And I think the death that Jesus died was not only just to pay for our sins, but it was actually to show us how to live. And I think that as the world sees us set aside our own will, set aside our own preferences, set aside our own entitlements and comforts. When we are lifted up, then he will draw all people unto himself. It's not just a hand raised, but it's a will set aside. God, whatever you want from my life, Lord, I'm a blank check, sign it and spend me however you like. God, I didn't put this breath in my mouth, so I'm gonna let you use it in whatever way you desire. Number three, the impact of our life is multiplied through self-sacrifice. When we live our own life, we affect the people around us, sometimes for good, sometimes for bad, right? But when we live this life of self-sacrifice, when we live this life that our will is not paramount, it's not the most important thing in the world, when we live this life of setting aside our own will and pursuing the will of God for the benefit of others, our impact is actually multiplied. Again, going back to John 12, verse 23 through 25. It says in verse 23, Jesus replied, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified." It's so interesting. Just pause here. It's time has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. What is he talking about here? Like when we think of glorified, we think, oh man, like standing up here and everyone's standing ovation. Yeah, we love you. Jared, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, Adrian, we love you. Flowers, you know, all this different stuff, you know? But like, what did Jesus call glorified? He says, the Son of Man is going to be glorified. What does that mean? That meant death. Death on the cross. That meant a sacrificing of his own will. The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Very truly I tell you, unless a kernel of wheat falls into the ground and dies, it remains only a single seed. But if it dies, it produces many seeds. Anyone who loves their life will lose it, while anyone who hates their life in this world will keep it for eternal life. What is Jesus saying here, right? What is Jesus saying? Jesus used a lot of agricultural analogies, but he's not just teaching an agricultural lesson here to his disciples, not saying, hey guys, this is how you farm. That's not what he's saying here. But he's saying, he's taking a little seed. You take one little seed, and if you value and prioritize this seed, you say, you know what? This seed is going to stay on my table the rest of my life because I just love and I value this seed. Guess what? It's gonna stay a single seed. Like I know some people who have like a mustard seed. And you know that verse where it says, faith as small as a mustard seed can move a mountain. And they literally have that seed like framed and in a frame in their office. And guess what? Over the 30 or 40 years that it's hung in their office, it has not grown one lick. It's just stayed a singular seed. Why? Because they value and prioritize that seed so much that they wanted to put it in a place of honor. But the crazy thing is even after 30 or 40 years, if they were to break that glass, pull that seed out and bury it in the ground, it would produce. But the seed would die. It would be broken. But a tree would grow up, and what would grow from that tree? Whatever the seed was. If I plant an apple tree, more apples are gonna grow. And guess what are inside those apples? More seeds. And so also when we value and when we value our life and we value our own will so much, we frame our life, we frame our own will, we frame our own dreams and desires for what we think our life should look like, we remain alone. Our life doesn't spread to the people around us. But if we'll break the glass and we'll say, God, not my will, but yours be done, let it be buried, it will produce a harvest. And will, when we live our life sacrificially, actually benefits the people around us. So why am I saying this? Why is this so important? Just because, listen, y'all, I'm a young guy, all right? I'm a young guy. I'm only 24. And our community here, we are young. We are young in the Lord. And listen, I don't want us to miss any moment that we have to spend our life for Jesus. But even more than that, I don't want us to waste our lives. Like, man, I'm only 24, but like, man, these last 10 years have literally just flown past. Like, where did they go? I don't know. We're 2024 now. And this is exactly what David said it would be like in Psalms 39, verse 4 through 5. This is David's prayer. And I believe that this is a prayer that Jesus wants us to pick up as well as a community. Lord, make me to know my end and what is the measure of my days, that I may know how frail I am. Indeed, you have made my days as handbreadths, and my age is as nothing before you. Certainly, every man at his best state is but a vapor. Listen, y'all, this life is so fleeting. It's here one moment, but it's gonna be gone. It's here one moment, it's gonna be gone. I love that last verse. Man at his best state is a vapor. Like, you ever walk outside in a cool morning? I hope we never have this for the next summer months. Like, I hope we're done with this now, but you walk outside in the morning and you go, as quickly as you saw your breath, like, exist and then be gone, that's, he's saying, that's how quick your life is. And I don't want us to waste the life that we have here. Ain't not even 1 second on promoting our own self-will. No way would we sacrifice for the sake of others. You know, as we're gearing up for Easter, we're pointing towards the life of Jesus, his death, burial, and resurrection. And you've heard me say that Jesus literally came, he died on the cross in order to reconcile you back into relationship with God. But as we close here tonight, we don't want to ever leave a session like this. We don't ever want to leave an Access service without giving people an opportunity to respond to the gospel. So that's you today. And if you're honest with yourself, you don't know where you're at with a relationship with God. Or maybe you know that you've actually been walking away in your relationship with God, but you want to come back to him. I'm going to ask you, everyone with your heads bowed, eyes closed, I'm just going to ask you to raise your hand on the count of three. And by raising your hand, you're saying, Jesus, I need you, and I want you to come and be the Lord of my life. 1, 2, 3. Would you raise your hand? Thank you, Lord. I see one hand. Yes, I see 2, 3, 4, 5. Thank you, Jesus. Yes. Any others? Yes, thank you. Thank you, thank you. Yes, 7. Thank you, Father. Jesus, we love you. Thank you, Father. Honor you, Jesus. Come on, would everybody just repeat this prayer after me? Say, Jesus, I love you. Thank you for dying on the cross for all of my sins. God, I'm sorry for wronging you. I'm sorry for prioritizing myself, but I'm done. I renounce that life. I renounce the devil, and I make Jesus the Lord of my life. I will live for him all my days. Holy Spirit, fill me up. And help me to walk like Jesus walked. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, 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 amen. So, so good. Honor, that's so amazing. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. The last thing that I'm gonna do, and this is a little bit bolder of me, but the last thing I'm gonna do is maybe as I've been speaking, maybe you're recognizing some areas in your own heart where you have elevated your own will above God's will for your life. And I just wanna say, like, come to like a moment of just repentance together. Like, when we get to repent, and what repentance means is literally recognizing that the way that I'm walking is leading to destruction. So I'm gonna turn around and I'm gonna walk in a separate way. But maybe if that hit your heart, I'm gonna invite you, everyone's eyes open this time, just to stand to say, you know what? There's been some ways that I've been seeking my own desire, and I want to turn away from those ways in order to follow Jesus more fully. So I'm going to ask you on the count of three to stand. Ready? 1, 2, 3. Amen. Amen. Come on. Thank you, Jesus. Come on. This is awesome. And listen, I just want to pull up that verse from Galatians 2 in the Message translation, because I think this is really pertinent for us. I'm going to lead us in a prayer of repentance. But in the Message, it says, what actually took place is this. I tried keeping the rules and working my head off to please God, and it didn't work. So I quit being a lawman so that I could be God's man. Christ's life showed me how and enabled me to do it. This is what we're here. I'm not asking you to stand so that you would white knuckle it and try harder to live a self. I'm asking you to stand so that we would open our hearts more and say, God, I need more of your power. I need more of you in order to live this life that you're calling me to live. So would everyone close your eyes and just pray this with me. Say, Jesus, I repent for elevating my own will. I lay it down before you. You can have it and you can keep it. Lord, I ask by your Spirit that you would help me to do your will and confront any way in me that is not in your will. I love you, Jesus, and I want to follow you. In Jesus' name. Amen, amen, amen. Come on, let's lift it up. This is so good. I love it. I love it. Listen, I love following Jesus. Thank you all for listening so intently. And I'm going to welcome Jacob back up here for announcements.